So I'm at the grocery store, and it's one of those days where the air feels like wet wool. And I'm standing in the condiment aisle, staring at a wall of mustard. And there's got to be at least 50 different jars. Some of them are, artisanal. Some have these little drawings of sunshine and farms on them. Some of them are, I guess, honey infused for people who find the taste of actual mustard too confrontational or something. And I'm just standing there holding a jar, and it hits me that I don't want any of this. Not just the mustard, everything. The whole structure, the store, the job I'm supposed to be cultivating to so I can buy more overpriced mustard, the entire script. And it felt like I'd walked into a movie 3 hours late, and everyone's acting like I should know the plot, but the plot is just a bunch of distracted people who are oblivious that they're standing in a burning building. So I just left the cart right there in the aisle between the pickles and the mayo. I didn't even put the stuff back, which I know is a shitty move, but I had to get out of there. And I just walked out onto the sidewalk, and I stood there for a minute, and for the first time in quite a while, I actually took a deep breath that reached the bottom of my lungs, and it was cold, and it tasted like exhaust, but it was real. I felt somehow liberated for a minute, anyway. There is a specific type of silence that I've noticed happening currently that you may have felt or noticed in some way. Though it's not the nice kind of silence that you get in the middle of the woods on a nice day. It's more like this heavy, staticky, quiet that you get right after a car accident before you've realized that you're injured. More and more people are just stopping. And it's getting to the point where it's getting difficult to ignore. So they're looking at the so-called milestones of their lives, the dysfunctional career ladder, the insanely expensive college degree, maybe the mortgage that they can't really afford. And they're seriously questioning all of it because it's not really working. We were all raised in this weird cardboard tasting optimism. I guess what I mean is you pursue all the usual trappings until eventually at some point the mask slips, and then you have some sort of crisis where it just kind of melts off completely. And everything we were supposed to trust turned out to be predatory to some degree or another. So the politicians are basically just a bunch of narcissists in suits playing a game where the prizes are attention. The economy is just these, well, basically, it's comes down to the three massive corporations in a trench coat trying to pick your pockets while telling you that you should be grateful for it. And even the spiritual stuff, it's all frauds peddling this false hope and this toxic positivity. And it's exhausting. It's like discovering that your parents aren't really your parents. They're just two strangers who hired you to do their dishes for the last 20 years. And you don't even really get angry anymore. Well, you do, but you realize that it's pointless. So you just get quiet. And maybe when you get quiet, you start to disentangle yourself from these wires that were tangled up in. And then there is there's the monsters that are running this whole show, the autocrats, who are currently absolutely inundating the 24-hour news cycle. And the weirdest part is that nobody's even really surprised anymore, because it's all becoming normalized. Actually, there's a term for what's happening. It's called hyper-normalization. This is a term that comes to us from the final days of the Soviet Union during the late 1980s. So everyone knew that the money was fake and the leaders were hallucinating, but they all kept pretending it was normal because they couldn't imagine a world that wasn't a lie. And we are in that theater now. The theater of the absurd, where the actors are all drunk and the set is smoldering and rotting like a landfill, and the rest of us are just sitting in general admission, wondering if the popcorn is organic. And we don't even gasp when one of these monsters are revealed or called out. We just absorb it and we question ourselves and each other as to why we're not rioting. And then we just keep on scrolling. Nobody wants to be the first one to start the revolt. So we just pile it, you know, we just add it all to the pile. And we're all just gluttons, whether we mean to be or not, with a malfunctioning shock meter. And when you realize that the game is rigged, and not just slightly tilted, but fundamentally designed to consume you, the only intelligent move is to just stop sitting at that table. It's not to stay there playing the game harder or trying to strategize better or something. Now, some people call this laziness, but I see it as a mass evacuation. We're unplugging because, well, frankly, the socket is starting to spark and the house is, it's smelling like ozone. I think a lot of people are, you know, under these circumstances are losing interest in things that they used to care about. And they're also losing interest in discovering anything new. And there's a reason for this. I mean, if you're feeling that that weird heavy numbness. Don't let the people who sell the pills convince you that you're broken. You're not broken. You're just finally reacting to a world that's become too toxic and far too deceptive to be enjoyed in the old way. So we're entering a period of disentanglement. And this isn't a bad thing, but it is a difficult one. So we're pulling our hands off the controls. And we're watching the ship go down because, well, at least the water is real. And the situation's gotten so bad that we'd rather have authenticity, even if it means experiencing it in a state of collapse. So I was reading about the jack pine tree recently. It's this rather curmudgeonly looking thing that it looks like it's had a rough life and it isn't interested in your sympathy. But it does this one interesting thing. So its cones are sealed shut with this incredibly thick, stubborn resin. And they just sit there on the branches for years. Rain doesn't open them. Sunshine can't open them. They look dead, actually. But the resin it's a lock. It's a sealant. And the only key to open that lock is a forest fire. So the tree actually waits for its world to burn down before it decides to release its seeds. It needs the heat and it needs the absolute destruction of everything around it to melt that sealant. So it's, in a way, it's a survival plan that's based on the fact that things have to get much worse before they can be real again. That's us. That's this numbness that we're all carrying in this hyper-normalization. It's not really a malfunction. It's a seal. So your brain has looked at the digital screaming and the fake reality and this whole collapsing circus in the modern world, and it's decided to lock the doors. Now, I think of it like a sacred pause. You're not depressed in the corporate sense. You're dormant. You're waiting for the fire to do its thing and eventually stop. And yeah, it's painful in so many ways. But there's no way around it. You know, we spent so many years living through a proxy version of ourselves. You know that person. This is the one on the screen that actually used to care about the algorithm. But that version of you was really just a marionette. And it's hard to keep dancing when you can finally see the thick, greasy strings that are attached to your wrists. Now, the emptiness that you feel when you look at your phone, this isn't necessarily a bad thing all the time. that's the silence that happens when a false identity finally stops screaming for attention. It's like when a refrigerator that's been humming in the background for 10 years finally shuts off. You didn't even realize how much that noise was wearing you down until it stopped. So we've been programmed to crave the high, which is, you know, the next purchase, the next notification, etc. But at some point, that high started feeling like a low. So the soul, or whatever you want to call the part of you that isn't for sale, that just went into the basement and it locked the door. It's forced boredom. And it's the only way to hear your own voice over all the bullshit marketing. You know, it's a weird feeling to outgrow your culture. It's like a suit that's a couple sizes too small. You move, and then you hear some ripping sounds. And the rituals that we used to rely on, they're just shadows now. So take the holidays, for example. It's just a mandatory performance in a play that's been running for too many seasons. You're sitting there, you're passing the potatoes to people that you share DNA with, but you have no common reality, and you're waiting for the clock to hit 10 or whatever so you can go back to your room and disassociate. Now, even your hobbies, unfortunately, feel empty. And you try to play a game or, I don't know, paint or something, and it just, you know, it just feels like a much heavier lift than it should be. And it's not because you're lazy. Laziness usually is just a corporate word for a soul who is refusing to be fuel for the machine. Now, the hobbies were just, they were basically mufflers that drowned out the sound of the world's corruption. But now that you've seen that monster, the mufflers aren't working. And you're in a state of like monotone baseline. So the color, it hasn't actually left the world, though. It's just that your eyes have adjusted to the fact that most of the color was just neon advertising anyway. And that's the real kicker here. When your interests get dull, the world doesn't, it won't just let you sit in silence. The world panics and it sends in the optimization squad. So these are the people that, well, they tell you that if you're not constantly passionate all the time about your life, then you're not trying hard enough. And they tell you that your downtime shouldn't just be downtime where you're doing nothing. It should be self-care, but only if it's the kind that gets your ass back to work on Monday. So there's never any actual time for just being. It's always about doing something. And they want you to turn the few things that you actually enjoy into side hustles, and then they want you to track your sleep with an app, count your steps like you're in an inmate in a high-tech yard. They expect you to perfect your meditation so you can be more productive at being calm. So it's a special kind of hell being told that even your rest has to have a return on investment. I remember a time when you could just be bad at things. You could pick up a guitar and play three chords badly for 20 years, and that was fine. You didn't have to build a brand or something. You weren't creating content. You were just a guy enjoying making some noise. But now, if you're not recording it, if you're not leveraging your interests to build a proxy self that looks impressive to total strangers, the system treats you like you're a broken machine or a defect or something. So this is why the things that you actually enjoy doing feel like such a heavy lift. It's because the system has colonized our imaginations. And it's turned our play into just nonstop work. Alan Watts actually used to talk extensively about the importance of play. Actually, it was one of his central themes. You know, every time you pick up that paintbrush or you start that video game or whatever it is, there's this little voice in the back of your head. And it's a voice that sounds kind of like a middle manager. And it's asking you, well, how is this contributing to your personal growth? It's the monotone baseline that, you know, if you're feeling right now, that's just your soul's way of going on strike. And it's refusing to produce anything else for a market that doesn't care about you. It's a sit-down strike in the factory of the mind. You know, we've been sold this idea that passion is it's the natural state of a healthy human being. It's not. Passion is a fever. It's a temporary spike. It comes and goes. You know, nobody can live at that temperature forever without, you know, burning out their wiring. And this is true for anything in life, including relationships. Most of human history has been lived in a gray zone. It's been lived in the mundane, the quiet, the repetitive, the boring. But nonetheless, we've been told that if we're not constantly lit from within, we're failing. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. We're starting to realize that the most radical thing you can do in a world that wants to harvest your every waking second is to embrace periods of time where you are fundamentally, unapologetically useless. And I know that's not easy because most of us are caught up in this dysfunctional shit show. But personally, I've always made a point to sit here in my kitchen and look out the window and watch the crows that are perched on the power lines. you know, it's not productive. It's not building some legacy. It's not going to help me scale my impact or whatever. And that's exactly why it's the only thing that doesn't feel like it's stealing from me. I'm trying to be unindexable. I'm trying to be more of a mystery to the algorithm, the almighty algorithm. So I do things that I guess would be considered fundamentally useless. I'll take a walk to nowhere for no reason. I'll spend 20 minutes looking at a bug on a leaf. These things have zero market value. They are wastes of time in the eyes of the machine, which is exactly why they're the only things that feel real, tangible. So, yeah, these things, you know, I do these things because it helps remind me that I'm not a cog. I'm just a person. Now, at this point in my life, if I'm going to seek connection, it's got to be low frequency, high vibrational. One or two people who are also tired. We don't really talk about the news or our goals. We just talk about how the air feels. And we talk about the books that actually made us feel something before the world got this loud and insane. And we're trying to rebuild things very slowly from the bottom up. One honest, unrecorded conversation at a time. And the melancholy, I'm just letting it sit there. You know, we have this obsession in our society with being happy. But, you know, happiness is just a spike the system uses to keep us buying. I mean, you know, happiness itself is okay when you can experience it, but I'd rather have a plateau. So if you're feeling a deep silent sadness about the world, that's just a sign that you are aware. But, you know, don't let them pathologize your sanity. And that heavy feeling in your chest, ultimately, that's just your humanity refusing to be smoothed over. This whole great rejection that I see it as a great rejection that's happening. It isn't about arson and burning everything down. It's because, look, the world is burning itself down just fine. This is about deciding what's worth carrying you or carrying with you into the charred soil once the fire finally runs out of oxygen. And it's okay to be quiet and realize that you don't belong at the party. And hopefully, ideally, something more honest is going to grow in the ashes. I mean, I think it has to. But it does need the land to be clear first. So, you know, I think we should just let the silence happen. Don't fight it. Don't try to control it. Because it's the only place left where you can finally hear yourself breathe. Okay. That's all I've got today. As always, thanks for listening.